You are invited to the 65th Annual Bethany Baptist Church Spiritual Revival and Missions Conference on August 3rd and August 5th through the 10th. Our keynote speaker will be Reverend Alan Parr Jr., creator of the YouTube ministry The Beat, which stands for Biblical Encouragement and Truth. Plan to join us and be blessed by the Word of God, uplifting praise and worship, and awesome missionary testimonies. We know that you will be encouraged in your faith. For information, visit the Bethany Baptist Church website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org, or call the church office at 412-242-3255. Thank you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Religious and Economic Babylon, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Religious and Economic Babylon, Part 2.
18, verse 1. John says, and after these things, another angel came down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen and has become the habitation of demons and every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So the revealer of this destruction is an angel that will come down from heaven. Notice what it says, he'll have great power, that God will give this angel great power, and that he will brighten the earth with his glory. You know, the whole earth will be brightened with his glory. So even Babylon will see the glory of this angel. And then he's going to announce the fact that Babylon will fall, economic Babylon. So again, I've spent the first 10 minutes, saints, building us up to this point with this one world currency, with this you'll own nothing and be happy, with this whole idea of greed. You know, it's all going to culminate here, and God is announcing the fall of economic Babylon. So the revealer of the destruction. Let's look at the refuge from the destruction. Notice what God says. He tells his people in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sin, and that you receive not her plagues. So there still be a remnant of God's people on the earth at that time. And so God tells his people that before I destroy Babylon, before I bring these plagues on Babylon, he calls for his people to come out. And his people are not to partake in the sins of this world commerce. And those who come out from her and do not participate will not receive the plagues. So before God brings this destruction, so he sends this angel to announce the destruction, and then he calls his people to come out, you know, and not get involved. Now, again, I'm talking about during the tribulation. He calls his people to come out and not get involved in this destruction. Then what is the reason for this destruction? Why is God destroying Babylon? Well, in verse 2, she will become the dwelling place for demons and all kind of evil activities. So when you think about money and all the evil that can be associated with money. Now again, you know, hopefully you're using your money for the glory of God. You know, you're giving to ministries, you're blessing other people, you're taking care of your needs, you know, so that you are. But there's a whole lot of money that's being used in immoral ways. You know, just think about, I mean, just let's just think about this for a minute. Human trafficking, right? Look at all the money that's associated with human trafficking. Look at pornography, all the money that's associated with pornography. Drugs, all the money that's associated with drugs. And we could go on and on. And so this all will be, oh my goodness, saints, this all will be resident in Babylon, in this economic Babylon. It's all going to be there. So you see why God is going to destroy it. You know, the reason for the destruction. She will corrupt the kings of the earth and the merchants. Notice what it said in verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of her, of the wrath of her fornication. Look at this. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The politicians, the leaders, they are all going to be a part of this system. It says the merchants of the earth who grow rich, they grew rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Why is God going to destroy Babylon, economic Babylon? Because of the wickedness, all the wickedness that's involved in this. Even it corrupted the kings of the earth, that that this economic Babylon committed sins that went up to the iniquities of heaven, just using the system, using money for wicked, illicit, nefarious, for evil things. And it says that, notice verse 5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So when God brings this judgment, you know, God is just not sitting up in heaven saying, well, let me see who I can send judgment on. He's sending this judgment for a specific reason, because of the evil and the wickedness that is in economic Babylon. Notice verse 7. She was filled with pride. Now listen to this, saints. If you have your Bible, hopefully you're following along with me. But it says, how much she hath glorified herself. And look at this. And lived luxuriously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen. I am no widow. And she shall see no sorrow. Right? She lived luxuriously. She was filled with pride, right? That, hey, you know, I'm gonna get all the money I can all the money I get, and I'm gonna sit on the can, right? She was lifted up with pride. She just used money for her own luxury, for her own selfishness. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with being blessed with money. Nothing wrong with that at all. But, you know, again, economic Babylon used the system to get over, to step on other people, to take advantage of others, that they lived in luxury at the expense of other people. So this is the reason why God is going to destroy economic Babylon. Notice she will seek after excessive and wicked possessions. Look at verse 12. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, all thy wood and all kinds of vessels of ivory and vessels of the most precious wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and incense and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil and flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. Right? Economic Babylon had it all. And sadly, it says it had the souls of men. And notice verse 16, that it says, alas, alas, talking about the merchants, that the great city, it was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and bedecked with gold and precious stones and pearls. You know, it had everything, and it had the finest, and it had the most luxurious, like I said, to other people's expense. And God is upset that they took advantage of others, that this economic Babylon, that the Antichrist, you know, found these things at the expense of others. It will be the root of drug addiction. Look at verse 23. And the light of the lamp shall shine no more at all, and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride shall be heard no more. For thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by sorceries they deceived the nations. By sorceries. This word sorceries comes from the Greek word pharmakia. And you know what word we get from that? Pharmacy or drugs. So what's going to be a big part driving economic Babylon is drugs, right? People make a lot of money off of selling drugs. If they didn't make a lot of money, then they wouldn't do it. And so there's a lot of money to be made. And so economic Babylon will, one of the things that will drive economic Babylon is drug addiction. And just think of all the people whose lives have been destroyed because of drug addiction. You know, I remember I was a part of a program, it's called Leadership Pittsburgh. And they were grooming people in Pittsburgh, you know, to be leaders, you know, and so we had to, you know, go through all these classes and, you know, we had to do all these things. And one of the things that we did one day, we took a tour and, you know, we saw all these homeless people. And so, you know, there was a guy, he was, knew all about the homeless people. And I thought to myself, I said, I don't, with all that we have in this country today, you know, I don't understand how somebody can be homeless. And so I asked the guy the question. Now, again, I'm young, I'm a rookie. I don't know this stuff, right? And I'll never forget what he said. He said there are two main reasons why people are here. You know, one is mental health. They're dealing with some mental health issue. And you know what the second one was? Yeah, that's right. You got it. It was drugs. It was drugs that had taken them down. Now, again, I know there's other reasons why people are homeless. You know, I understand that. And maybe Charles Purcell, when I get finished teaching, he can share with us some things about that, because I know he has a passion and a heart, you know, for homeless people. I thank God for that brother. And so maybe he can share some other things with us on that also. But that's what the guy told me. He said there were two reasons why, you know, most people are homeless. You know, number one was mental health issue, and number two was drugs. And so we see that pharmakia, you know, was something that was used by economic Babylon to destroy the lives of people. And then 24, verse 24, she will promote worldwide bloodshed for financial gain. You know, taking people's lives for financial gain. Verse 24, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. For financial gain, took people's lives, killed people. And isn't that what a lot of war is about? You know, it's about what? Gain. You know, let me see how I can, you know, when you look at the Middle East and you see all this going on against Israel, you know, what is that about over there? It's about land, right? It's about gain. It's about oil. It's about financial gain. And so people go to war, you know, they shed blood for financial gain. And so that's one way that Babylon has gotten the reason for the destruction is because they promoted the bloodshed, you know, killing the prophets, killing the saints, because they didn't want to hear what they had to say. They were somehow messing up their flow. They were messing up their ability to use money or get money. The revelation of the destruction. We see in verse 6 that economic Babylon will reap what she sows. Verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she filled, fill her to the double. So she will reap, economic Babylon will reap what she sowed. Now notice this. Her destruction is orchestrated by God. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. So this is God. You know, God is going to get fed up with this financial system. And again, ultimately, it will be headed by the Antichrist. And so God is going to get fed up, and he's going to destroy economic Babylon. Now, again, you know, there's been some debate as to whether it's talking about a literal Babylon, about Babylon being rebuilt. And, you know, there's some scholars that believe that Babylon will be rebuilt, and that the Antichrist will sit from there, and that will be the economic seat. And then some people say, well, Babylon is a code word for Rome, and it actually represents Rome. Well, you know, we can debate all that and say, is it a literal place? Did it actually stand for Rome? But the fact of the matter is that there will be an economic world system that has done the things that's spoken of here in Revelation 18, and that one day they'll be destroyed. Now, notice what it says here. It will most likely be a nuclear destruction. That when, so this leads me to think that, you know, maybe it is a place that's the seat of this commerce, right? It's affecting the whole world, but maybe the seat is here in Babylon. Now notice, why do I say that it might be a nuclear destruction? Because four times it says that she will be destroyed in 1 hour. You know, they ripped off people for years and years, but it will be destroyed in 1 hour, and it involves heat and fire. Let's look at these verses. Verse 8, it says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. Verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment comes. Verse 17, for in 1 hour, so great riches are come to nothing. Wow. 1 hour, all that city had accumulated, in 1 hour, God says he's going to destroy it. Every shipmaster and all the company ships, sailors, and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off. So, you know, these merchants, these marine merchants, are going to sit out in the ocean and watch Babylon be destroyed. Verse 19, and they cast their dust on their heads, and they cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city in which were made rich all that had the ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. So the destruction is going to be swift, and the destruction is going to be devastating, the destruction. And then we see the results of the destruction, the results of the destruction. People on the earth will weep. Merchants will weep because they can no longer satisfy their worldly obsessions, and because the city that made them rich will be destroyed in 1 hour. Look at verse 11. It says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn for her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. So the people on the earth are going to weep. Why? Because all they had put their eggs all in this basket, this economic Babylon. So again, let me take you back to the beginning, right? What do we talk about? You know, we talked about the guy that said, you will own nothing and be happy. You know, we saw how leaders of the world are coming together for one world currency. So again, this is just going to grow and grow and grow. And then ultimately, it's going to culminate in this worldwide financial system, right? And so people are going to put their eggs in that basket, and when it collapses, then you know they've lost everything. So they'll be weeping because of this. And then we see in heaven there's rejoicing. Heaven will rejoice. Verse 20, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. So again, you know, God is going to bring judgment on Babylon because of what they did to the righteous, right? And again, the righteous and the innocent, how that they took advantage of them, you know, to promote their causes and to gain their wealth. So I think that's okay. The results of the destruction, we see that a mighty angel casts a millstone into the sea, and this will depict what happens to financial Babylon. You know, this angel, it says a mighty angel, you know, an angel that's cut with muscles, right? That he will throw a millstone. And you remember the millstone, Jesus talked about, if you offend a little one, it's better that a millstone be tied around your neck and that you be cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones, right? So this mighty angel throws a millstone into the sea, and this depicts what is going to happen to financial Babylon. Notice it says in verse 21, and a mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. We see that worldly entertainment is going to cease. Now you can imagine all the entertainment that would have been found in economic Babylon. Verse 22, and the voice of the harpers and the minstrels and the flute players and the trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the craftsman and whatever craft he be shall be found no more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more in thee. The millstone, that symbolizes work and grinding. So all worldly entertainment shall cease. And notice this, even marriages. I would have a tendency to say, we know that in the millennial kingdom when we get in our glorified bodies, that, you know, we can't, be involved in marriages. At some point, you know, all marriages will cease. But I think right here, maybe what he's talking about is marriages in this system, in this world system. Notice what he says, verse 23, and the light of the lamp shall shine no more in thee at all, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And so it says that the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will be heard no more. So, you know, again, I believe that, you know, this is a reference to marriages that were a part of this this economic system, that, you know, they will come to an end.
Thank you for joining us today on Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Hell, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Religious and Economic Babylon, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Religious and Economic Babylon, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Religious and Economic Babylon, Part 2, from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 52206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.